When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Before we get started, I want to try something a little different, a little special tonight. Every night before the show tapes, these guys know this, and I didn't do it tonight. I come out here before the show usually to answer questions from the studio audience to humanize me. It is, it's important to maintain the illusion that I am a human. Anyway, no one at home ever gets to see that, so let's give it a shot right now. Jimmy, let's bump up the lights. And, all right, this is nice. Hey! That's nice. Does anybody, let's start over here. Yes, over in the corner, that man right over there. Yeah, with the goatee, is it? Right. Full beard, I apologize. I didn't realize how manly you were. Go ahead, yes, your question, sir.
What's been your biggest transition to the Late Show?
My biggest what?
Transition.
My biggest transition to the Late Show. The old show that we did was at 11:30. This one's at 11:35. Now we have time to write some jokes. The redhead in the third row, right there.
Yes, I'd like to know why you're doing this bit.
Carol Burnett! Carol! Wow! Holy cow! That's amazing. Thank you. Well, Carol, thank you for being here. What's your question, Carol?
Well, it's just that I wanted to know where you get off doing this bit, because it's my bit.
Well, I don't understand.
Stephen, you know, for 11 years, you know, I used to come out and I'd take questions. Would take questions with the audience. And so really, you know, it's mine. I own this.
Well, Carol, you can't. I'm sorry. No, listen, I'm a big fan. Listen, I'm a huge fan. I never miss your show. But Carol, you don't own the idea of answering questions.
Well, that's true, technically, but I have a patent on it. And I quote, "For responding to the audience inquiries on a televised comedy variety broadcast," unquote.
Okay, fine. You own questions and answers. Then get up here and show me how it's done. Come on. Carol Burnett, everybody. Carol Burnett. Carol. Thank you so much for being here. What a pleasure. Well, we got time, I think.
Okay.
Are there any,
Does anybody?
Please, have a seat, everybody.
Let me do it.
Okay, sorry.
Anybody have any questions? Yes, that gentleman there.
There's a rumor going on in our building. We live at 200 West 54th, that you used to live in that building, didn't you?
I did live. That's above the Stage Delicatessen.
Correct, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, and you know, they thought I was a good cook because I would open the window and you'd smell everything from the stage.
What floor were you on? Where?
I was on the fourth floor.
Do you remember? We're on the fourth floor.
You are? Maybe you're in my old apartment.
He's beginning to sound like a stalker. Let's
you
move
think
on.
So? Yes, down there.
You were both amazing on Howard Stern recently.
Thank you.
And I was curious, Stephen, I know, but what was your expectation and what did you think of being
on
the
show? Well, at first I was nervous about being on with Howard Stern, and then after the first couple of questions, he was nervous with me.
All right, that's yes, okay. Yes, that young lady right there. Yeah.
Could you do your Tarzan yell?
Well, I'd be happy to.
Excuse me, but that's my Tarzan yell.
Your Tarzan yell?
Yes, uh-huh.
I bet that's news to Tarzan.
Are you ready?
I guess it is yours, Carol. I apologize.
It's okay.
Okay. You ready to do the show?
Sure.
You guys ready to do the show?
Yeah.
Y'all ready to do the show?
Yeah. More with Carol Burnett after this.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My first guest tonight is a legend whose variety series is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Please welcome the one, the only, Carol Burnett. It's so nice to see you again. Thanks for coming back.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Now, kiddo, if I can call you that.
Oh, sure, yeah, please.
Now, kiddo, you're a legend now. Everybody loves you. People leap to their feet when you walk into the theater. But is this true? Your first job in New York, you were a hat check girl.
Yes, I was.
Where?
At a ladies' tea room.
Okay.
That's how bright I was. Women don't check their hats.
Wow, no one checks their hat anymore.
They don't wear
it. No one wears a hat. Was that the long green there? If you get some.
It was called Susan Palmer's Tea Room, but they had an oyster bar downstairs that the men would go to. So in order to get a tip, I would grab the men as they were going downstairs and say, check your coat, sir. So they'd give me their coat. And then I would take a scissors. Now, you know the little thing in the back?
A little hanging tab, yeah.
I'd cut that off. And then I would re-sew it with a different color thread. So when they would come back up and ask for their coat, I would say, this was broken, but I fixed it for you. And then Then instead of getting a quarter, they'd give me an extra dime. I'd get 35 cents for that.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a con artist.
You're a grifter.
That I was.
And a dancer, because you've seen this photo we dug up here, is that you are no stranger to this theater.
No.
Now, we talked about this last time we were here, but I hadn't seen any of the photos.
Yeah.
You worked on the old Gary Moore show,
right,
which was shot in this theater at the same time as the Ed Sullivan show.
On this stage.
On this very stage. Back in the 1950s. 50s?
Uh-huh. 59, 60, 61, yeah.
So here you are with Gary Moore. Sometime between around 1960
Nice gams, by the way. I think we called them back in the day.
Gams.
And the guest book. Now, at the same time, you were, like, making your break on Broadway
yes.
in Once Upon a Mattress,
right? I doubled. Uh-huh.
At the same time. So you were doing this. This was your day job.
That was my day job. And then I did Once Upon a Mattress 8 times a week off Broadway.
Well, how do you do that? You must have just absolutely wiped you out.
I was young. I was
okay.
very young. And
yeah.
I was very hungry. And so I had both jobs. And then, but I never had a day off. And so... In Once Upon a Mattress, it's a story of the princess and the pea. And so the princess is supposed to, towards the end of the show, get on top of 20 mattresses and not be able to sleep. So that's the whole bit. One matinee, I fell asleep. In front of the audience. I put people to sleep, but I fell asleep.
Well, that's not easy to do, to fall asleep on stage.
Exactly. I was exhausted. And so all I remember is the stage manager in the wings going, Carol, 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 wake up. And I jumped up like that. It's a wonder I didn't fall off the mattresses.
Okay, so you're 3 or 4 years on Gary Moore?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
One of those two. And now, so how long after that do you start the Carol Burnett Show?
I started the Burnett Show in 67, so
okay.
that took a while, yeah.
So how did that come about? Did you, because Gary Moore was also for CBS, right?
Yes, that's right.
And
yeah.
did they just like, you get a variety show?
Well, I signed a contract with CBS for 10 years, and they said that within the first 5 years, I don't know, I had a really good agent, if I wanted to do a comedy variety show, all I would have to do is push the button and CBS would have to put it on 30 one-hour shows, whether they wanted to or not.
That is a good agent.
That was a good agent.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, well, I'll never want to do that. Well, towards the end of the 5th year, the last week of the 5th year, I decided I was going to push that button. And I did, and I called one of the vice presidents back here. I was in California. It was between Christmas and New Year's, and I got the vice president of CBS on the phone, and I said, hi. He said, Carol, Merry Christmas. How's it going? All of that. You know, I said, great. I want to push that button. And he said, what button? I said, you know, where 5 years ago you said that I could do that. Totally forgot. He didn't know, didn't remember. And so he said, well, great, I'll call you back. So I'm sure he got a lot of lawyers out of the Christmas parties that night, you know. Called me back the next day and he said, yeah, well, I see that. But you know, Carol, comedy variety television, it's a man's game.
Wow.
Wow. And he said, it's not for you gals, you know. It's Dean Martin, it's Milton Berle, Sid Caesar, you know, mm-hmm. Jackie Gleason. Mm-hmm. He said, we've got this great sitcom we'd love you to do called Here's Agnes.
I hear good things. I hear very good things
about
that.
I should have taken that
boat got away from you.
So I said, no, I don't want to be Agnes every week. So they had to put us on the air.
Wow. How'd that work out?
I still kind of wonder if I should have done Agnes.
Well,
I don't know because
you're the greatest variety comedian of all time.
Oh,
you is the greatest variety show ever made. Look at the characters. Look at all these characters. And this is just a handful of the characters you inhabited on the show. You know. Was there anything of all the things you did over the years? Was there anything that CBS, which is a fairly conservative organization, did everything they said? No, you can't do that. You can't do that sketch, or you can't do that line,
well,
or something
there was,
like that.
In 11 years, the network only talked to me about one thing. We were doing censors, right?
So, sure.
Yeah.
Standards and practices.
We were doing a sketch where I was a nudist. No, not like that. I mean, there's enough violence in the world without me flashing. But anyway, I was standing behind a fence.
Sure.
And it said, keep out.
And I was leaning over the fence, and my shoulders were bare, and bare legs with high-top sneakers on. And Harvey Korman was interviewing me voiceover. And it was just a bunch of jokes about a nudist colony. So he said, one of the jokes was, he said, so what do you nudists do for recreation? And my line was, well, we have dances every Saturday night. Well, how do you nudists dance? And my line was, very carefully. Well, for some reason, they thought that was risque.
That was too dirty?
It was too dirty. They said, you have to come up with another line. This is what they bought. So what do you nudists do for recreation? We have dances every Saturday night. How do you nudists dance? Cheek to cheek.
Not bad.
That was better.
Not bad. Okay, so you've got the book that you have written about the 11 years did the Carol Burnett Show, which is out in paperback right now. And there is a special coming out on December, what
Third?
Do we got here?
Third?
December 3rd.
Sunday.
Okay, 50th anniversary special. I'm in it.
Yes, you
brag,
are.
But I wanna go back in a time machine and talk to my younger self and say, hey, hang in there. You're eventually gonna do some scenes with this person.
Not only scenes, you're gonna sing.
A little bit of singing.
Oh, you got there. A great set of pipes.
Oh, you're very nice.
No, you do.
Thank you for saying the thing I asked you to. We have to take a little break here, but don't go away. We'll be right back with more Carol Burnett, everybody.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hey, everybody. We're here with our friend Carol Burnett. Now, Carol.
Yes.
I've heard this so many times, the story of why you tugged on your ear, but I can't remember. I've heard two different things. One was for your grandmother,
yes.
And one was for your children. Well, what was the actual purpose of pulling on your ear?
Well, my grandmother, when I got my first job on television here in New York, I called her collect in California, and I said, Nanny, I'm going to be on TV Saturday. And she said, well, say hello to me. And I said, I don't think they're going to let me say hello, Nanny. So we worked this out, which meant, hi, Nanny, I love you, I'm fine. And then later, I just kept doing it. And then later, when I got more successful, it was, hi, Nanny, I love you, I'm fine. Your check's on the way.
Did any like performers say, did they copy that to signal their family or anything like that?
I don't know.
Because I did. I used to do this to my mom. I'd give her one of these.
Oh, you do that?
I would go like that sometime to say hi to her at the end of the show.
Did your nose grow? Because my ear grew.
It actually got a little bit longer?
It's like a millimeter or two longer from pulling it all the way.
Now, one of the most things you're most famous for is, of course, your Tarzan yell. Okay. Now, are you guys familiar with Carol's Tarzan yell? When did you discover you could do that?
I was about nine or 10 years old. I had a beautiful cousin. We were the same age, and we would go to the movies, and we would see, like, Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald.
Sure,
then we'd
when
come
I'm
home,
calling
and
you.
And we'd come home, and we'd act them out. So she was always Jeanette, and I was Nelson because she was the really pretty one. And so we would do Tarzan and Jane, so guess who was Tarzan? Me.
Well, at least you weren't Cheetah.
No. So I taught myself the yell when I was about 9 or 10 years old.
Did it ever come in handy off stage, like when people are searching for you in the woods or something like that? Is there a practical purpose to it?
Well, one time I was here in New York and I was doing a special, and I had to run across the street to Bergdorf Goodman's to get some stockings. And so they opened at 10 o'clock. I was there early up in the lingerie department, and this lovely lady said, "Oh, hello, Miss Burnett. May I help you?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I need some stockings." And she's, "Yes." And then she asked me if I would sign about 5 or 6 autographs for her grandchildren, and I did, and it was very nice. And I went to pay for the stockings, and I didn't have my right credit card. So I said, "Oh, gee, I'm so sorry. Can I write you a check?" And she said, "I'll need some identification." And I said, "But, you know," and she said, "Oh, I know, but we have to get your license number and all of that." And I said, "But please, can I?" She said, "Let me ask Miss Carlton, across the way." She was a floor manager.
"Okay.
If she'll okay your check." So she goes across the way, and they're whispering. She waves, comes back. "Miss Carlton will okay your check if you'll do the Tarzan yell." They're at Bergdorf Goodman. I said, "Well, okay." So I did it, and it was a doozy. It was a good one.
Yes.
And behind the lady, there was an exit door, burst open, and there was a security guard with a gun. I only do it under controlled circumstances.
I hesitate to ask, but do you still do the Tarzan yell?
I think I can.
Would you be so kind? I know.
All right. I'll,
tell the guards. This is about to happen.
Okay, I'll try.
That's my favorite. Now, as somebody, I host a type of variety show, a talk show is a type of variety show. One of the things, when I took over this job, one of the things I asked Dave, because I came in and he talked to me for about an hour and a half about the space and about doing a show like this, and I said, "I got a weird question. Where do you hide from your producers when they need you to do something and you don't really want to do it? When you just want to get away from everybody so you can just think?" And he gave me a couple of places that I have not told anyone who works here yet.
Yeah.
When I want to hide, I want to be able to hide. Where would you hide? Could you get away from, because there's a lot of pressure if you're like the star of a show with your name on it, people always want to ask you things.
Well, actually, the only time I kind of hid out was just before on Wednesdays when we would do a run-through for the crew and everybody coming in after we'd rehearsed for a couple of days.
What day would you actually shoot?
We'd shoot on Friday.
Okay.
But we'd have a run-through on Wednesday afternoon. So about 15 minutes before the run-through, I would go across the hall from the rehearsal hall to the ladies' room, and I would go into one of the stalls, and I would sit down on the toilet seat. Mm-hmm. And I would go through the show in my mind, because I could be alone there. And this one day, I was going to do a character I'd never done before called Stella Toddler. It was this old lady. And I had done old ladies before, but I'd always done this kind of a voice, and it wasn't. And I said, "I've got to come up with a different voice." And so I'm sitting on the toilet seat, and I'm going, "Well, yeah, I think maybe this would be good. Yeah, I think that's the way I should do it, because it's down low. But I think this is really good. I'm feeling good about this." I opened the door, and there were two women standing. "I'm feeling really good about this."
Well, Carol, it's so lovely to see you again.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to what we're going to do together. The Carol Burnett 50th Anniversary Special airs Sunday.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
CBS Sunday, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after The Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.